My name is Yasser Ishtewi. I came to Minnesota in 1989 as a student, and I was amazed by the nature of the people of Minnesota, how kind, how nice, how cooperative, how creative they were. I joined the Army National Guard in 1992, and since that time I have been committed to the Guard. Right now I have a family, and I'm still committed to the Guard and everything I did before. I served 2 years in Iraq between 2005 to 2007 with the Red Bulls, Minnesota Army National Guard. Graduated from the University of Minnesota, and right now I work with my engineering degree as a product development engineer in one of the leading companies in Minnesota. My family has long ties with the United States. My grandfather from my mom's side came to the States in 1935, and he worked here for a while. My mom's cousin actually was a captain in the U.S. Army serving in Vietnam in 1966. When I came in 89 to continue education, and that's the reason I came. And I am from a city 10 miles north of Jerusalem in what's called the West Bank, Palestine right now. So I was called to active duty in 2005 during the war in Iraq. I was very happy with what I did in Iraq. I was teaching people first aid, providing them with water, the unit that I was with, it's called Civil Military Affairs, providing them with medicines, opening schools and roads. So we were a constructive team there, that we changed a lot of people's lives, and we brought a better understanding to what the U.S. stands for in many ways. It was very, very interesting that when we were backing up to leave, people did not want us to leave. The Minnesota unit that was down in Iraq there, people did not want us to leave. They wanted us to stay, and we found that to be very, very strange and unexpected. I was stationed in near a city called Nasiriyah, close to the Euphrates River. There was an Air Force base called Talil there, and that was used by most of the Minnesota troops that they were in Iraq. Some small units were stationed some in different parts, helping other units, but the majority, we were down there in Talil near Nasiriyah. The U.S. soldiers get trained real well to understand their duties and fulfill it. So one of the Iraqi officers there, although I was just a buck sergeant, as they call it, he said, why is it that a sergeant in the U.S. Army can make a decision that I am the captain cannot make in the Iraqi Army? So I had to explain to him that we go to school, we get trained, and everybody counts in America. We put value, we value every individual, and we make sure that they know their job and they do it right. So he was amazed with the answer, so I bring it to him. Over there, they are so centralized that a small decision has to go up higher to an officer. So that's make the big difference. But the other thing is my neighbors are very supportive. And in general, I am very friendly to my neighbors and very hospitable when they want to come to visit us or we go and visit them. So we interact in a very nice way, that we help and we receive help too when we need it. We have people from India, Hindus. We have from the Jewish faith, and we have Christians with different, you call it, denominations. And we get along real well. So when somebody says that the religion brings difference between people, I would like to invite them to my neighborhood and show them that I can prove them wrong. So I am very happy with what I see all the time from people here. Are mature, they understand that we all are good citizens, good neighbors, and we have to work for a common goal that serves us all. And that makes me really happy.
As you're raising your kids, as you raise them, how are you connecting them to their Palestinian heritage? Talk about how you're trying to connect them with their backgrounds.
We call our relatives to make sure, I mean, to connect my children with our heritage and background. We visit the Islamic Center occasionally. We are Muslims, they understand that, I mean, based on their age. We wanted them to be bilingual, to speak English and Arabic at the same time. It is a privilege for them when they grow up having two languages. And we put them in, they are right now, they are in public school, and they speak English there only. So, and we thought that that would work, but we can find, we found a Saturday school that taught Arabic. We visit every, it depends on how much money we can save, every 4 or 5 years. We go overseas, and we took them a couple of times, and the trip over there was very exciting for them. With their early time and early age, they got to meet their grandparents, they got to meet their cousins, and it played big, because when we go there, we are not just anybody. We are very special guests, and they get treated so special, so they love it. Well, now they understand where the roots of their parents, where we came from, and they are the connection now between people like them who were born as first generation from Arab and Muslim parents. They make the bridge and the connection between two cultures now. We are Americans, we are living here in the United States, but we still have something extra that we add to our life, which is our Muslim and culture and religion at the same time.
What are your hopes and dreams for them as they grow up in this state?
I would like them to be successful, to be independent when they grow up, so they can have a nice career, very active. A lot of my friends, they invested in businesses and made a lot of money. Most of them, I worked with them, and some of them, I trained them. I don't envy them for money, because my emphasis is to have good children, well-educated, that I can just say, hey, this is the best investment. Because if you invest in the human being, that's the best investment, if you can make it a successful investment. Because buildings, after a while, they go down. But the human being is the best generating asset if you invest well in them. And that's what I'm planning to do. I always ask my children, what do you want to be? You want to be a doctor helping people, sick people, and help them and cure them? You want to be an engineer like me, design, bring comfort, and bring safe stuff to people that they can use and live a good life? You want to be a pilot so you can take me on a tour sometimes so I don't have to buy tickets, you know, or things like that. And open their eyes on what's there for them from now. I try to help them make decisions. And that's one thing that I learned from my military experience, that the ability to make decisions is a very important skill in the person, because if you can make decisions, making the right decisions, you save a lot. And you also, you provide a good advice for your friends when they ask you for something. If you make wrong decisions, you sometimes you pay a high price. But the worst thing is not being able to make decisions at all. You depend on people, and they can send you in different wrong directions that you will suffer more than expected or anticipated. So making decisions, that's one good fact that I enhance a lot when I deal with my children. Making decisions on what they want to eat, making their own decisions on where they want to go, what to do, and all that. And that's paying off. I mean, they are, to some extent, good decision makers at their age now. Working with the Muslim community is something that I love to do from early time I came here to the state, because to find a place where you feel that you are not a stranger, you have to connect with your community to find people who speak the same language. When you do your religious activities and things like that, you want people from the same religion. They understand you. You understand them to be with it. So we got involved. We got involved earlier in the Al-Amal school when they started here. My brother was a driver. We supported their fundraising, and we always came and attend the meetings and try to give some ideas. When I came back from Iraq and I was unemployed, I volunteered to tutor kids here in math and physics. Because of my background in engineering, I can help with these two subjects. Over the time, we were always participating in everything, any activity they do. And we tried to help whenever we call upon to help. I remember one time they were collecting items that people were donating to set it up here so they can sell it and liquidate some money to support the school. And I used to have a small pickup. So they called on me, and I couldn't disappoint them. Even I was in, I remember, recall that I have some midterms or final exams, but I had to support them because they needed it as soon as possible. My wife works with building blocks, support building blocks. They have an early childhood development program, so she teaches there. And I myself am a member of the Northwestern Islamic Community Center, which is something like 1 year old, 1.5 year old. Soon we will have our new location in the western suburbs close to my work, where we don't have any a community center there before. So we are progressing, and I am a member of the Public Relations Committee and also the Education Committee. We have committees set up. We have been doing a lot of successful work educating the youth, making them understand what does it mean to be a good youth in America here. The peer pressure that kids get exposed to when they are at school, that's what put them in a negative direction maybe through the rest of their life. There is quite some serious challenges that takes place here in the United States. The terrorism, that's a major, major issue that the Muslims got struck with it. And I believe that they have been treated unfairly in it. And when the incident at Fort Hood took place, I had to write to the Star Tribune, and I talked about a lot of incidents that took place when I was stationed in Iraq, about some U.S. soldiers who are non-Muslims who come back because of some psychological disorder and things like that, and attack clinics and kill other soldiers and things like that. But nobody mentioned anything about religion. Why is it when a Muslim does something, they always like to associate the religion being the reason behind what the action that took place? If you want to do it as a percentage, a margin of error among nations, how many people who goes in the wrong path to do something to harm others, there is a lot of criminals around the world. It doesn't matter what the religion they are. There is some people who had tough childhoods, tough lives, and they react. It could be just a reaction to something that took place in their life. It doesn't have to be a well-indoctrined religion that tells people to go and kill. If that's the case, every Muslim will be running around in the streets shooting and doing this and doing that. But if you compare the number of incidents carried out by some people who are Muslims to the number of Muslims, it's not as large as some incidents that takes place by other people who commit crimes or anything of that kind. And to some extent, I looked at the incidents where some Muslims carried some attacks or did something unacceptable completely by us Muslims. They have a psychological problem. They are naive kids who were lured by the FBI in a sting operation, and they would not have even thought about doing that thing if they were invited into it. But unfortunately, for the media, it's an event that we have to capitalize on. And the Muslims right now, their assets to defend themselves and fight back through the media is limited. And that's why there is a lot of freedom in the media to bash Muslims and attack them and not expect some type of media retaliation or somebody to fire back and expose their lies or something like that. I hope to see the media spend more time investigating things. And I hope also that they try to be fair when they evaluate things, because it will affect their credibility on the long run, because people will understand that, and nothing worse than losing your audience for the media business. And that's what they are capitalizing in, that, hey, we get more people to watch, we can capitalize on the fear factor. People want to know what will happen tomorrow. Are they going to be attacked? Are they going to be losing something? Or whatever it is, but the fear factor has been a very important factor that they have been using to gain more attention to what they claim. There was a lot of fear from my friends, soldiers, when I was deployed to Iraq. They think that if I have a weapon and I have ammunition, I'm going to be start shooting at them or things of that kind. And it took them a while to open up to me and tell me, oh, we were afraid of you, honestly. But we did not expect you to be the great person who was helping us and supporting us in every mission we do the way you did. I said, why would you expect me to shoot at you? do I expect you to shoot me? He said, no, but what we hear in the media that you Muslims usually, the moment you get the opportunity, you will hit us and run or do this and do that. Well, the media fooled you, my friend, and I hope that people will give us the benefit of the doubt and ask us and deal with us and learn about us the right way, not through somebody else's judgment and stereotyping. American people are great people. I admire them for what they do and for their willingness to help and support and serve the nation. They do love to serve their country. And I tell everybody I come, I love America. Why not? Give me any reason that I cannot say I love America. If I go on the streets are good. My car travels well. If I go to court, I get justice there. If I make a claim about a ticket I got on the side of the road, I go to the hearing officer. They understand to my story. Sometimes they cancel it. Sometimes they reduce it. If somebody mistreats you, you'll find, without any reason, you'll find few people standing up there said, hey, take it easy. There was no reason for that, and ended there. So you will find people who can stand up for the truth. They know what's right. They have the courage to do what's right. And this is something very important for a successful nation that empowered its citizens to do the right thing. If you empower your citizens, that's when you progress, that's when you advance, and that's how you create good generations. But if you oppress them, you could make your people enemy of the state and vice versa. And that's when you don't progress, and that's when you don't see stability. So what America does for its citizens and what the American people do for their country is something great, reflects maturity, understanding, and responsibility. And as a new American, although I've been here 21 years, I am very proud to say I am American too. So I am a strong supporter of Muslim integration in this society. Bring down all the walls. Talk to your neighbors. Make business with your neighbors or people that you know if you have common ground over business ideas and things like that. We as an Americans, I always say it to my friends and everybody I act with, we want to be good citizens, ask for our rights as good citizens, but at the same time, we have to fulfill our duties as good citizens too. That's when you can ask for everything you want as a citizen.